Hello, sister. Happy Sunday. This is Denise with Far Above Podcast. And the topic today that I want to share with you is none other than revival. I'm sure many of you have heard about the Asbury revivals that have been taking place for the past, 11 or so, maybe even more days, than the revivals that have broken out in Lee. There's a university called Lee, there's Cedarville, there are revivals sprouting up. And then, of course, with the movie, The Jesus Revolution, that is going to be released this week, February 22nd and February 24th. And I am so excited. This is talking about the revival that took place in the 1970s. In California with Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie and the Jesus Movement. And I'm honored to say that my in-laws were part of that revival time. And I know that the time is now for us and for our children and for our generation, for our children's generation. So why do I want to talk about revival? Well, because my heart is longing for revival for me. And I can imagine that your heart is also looking to a personal revival. And as we continue to pray and believe for our prodigals that have left the faith or maybe never came to the faith, but who are confused and lost, the revival that they need, because maybe they're spiritually dead and they need to be breathing afresh from the Holy Spirit, breath afresh from the Holy Spirit, and just like Lazarus, to come alive in Jesus' name. So that's what I'm believing for my prodigals, and I am sure you're probably believing for yours. And so I wanted to share with you a free audiobook on Audible that I've listened to once through, and I'm on my second time, called The Calvary Road by Roy Hessian. Hession. I will put all of these things in the show notes below. It is a challenging and wonderful book about revival, and it's 2 hours on the Audible, and I listen at like 1.3 or 1.4 speed, and it just is quick, but it is meaty and challenging and really has been opening my eyes to my need to die to self. I knew that already, but it just has amplified that need for me. And then this morning, I just felt compelled to pray through The Steps to Freedom in Christ, a biblical guide to help resolve personal and spiritual conflicts and become a fruitful disciple of Jesus by Neil T. Anderson. And it is a very thin guide that you can buy on Amazon, and I'll link that in the show notes as well. It is the steps appointment that you go through after the Freedom in Christ discipleship Bible study, and I was just praying through that for myself. It's something that they encourage to go over yearly, and I am ready. I'm doing that again. I just did that this morning and went through the prayers and was praying it for myself and for my family. And then there's a few other resources. A Formula for Personal Revival that I found online by A.W. Tozer, which is about 2 or 3 pages, and I'll link it in the show notes, and I'll be reading it to you today. And it's really just kind of embodies what's in the Calvary Road, but in a concise format of like 2 or 3 pages. And then also there was a video series I was watching, and this video series has to do with spiritual warfare, but what I enjoyed it, it's by Mark Bubeck, and it is on, it's on YouTube for free. What I liked about it was it has a part in there where he's encouraging you to have self-reflection before you even go about, you know, fighting in the spiritual realm and spiritual warfare for yourself and your family and loved ones. So I really enjoyed that. But I'm going to read to you a Formula for Personal Revival by A.W. Tozer because it's encouraging. And I think that if you're looking and hungry for personal revival, this is a good place to start. Number one, get thoroughly dissatisfied with yourself. Complacency is the deadly enemy for spiritual progress. The contented soul is a stagnant soul. Number two, set your face toward a sweeping transformation of your life. You must throw your whole soul into our desire for God. Number three, put yourself in the way of blessing. To desire revival and at the same time to neglect prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. I really like that. Number four, do a thorough job of repenting. And I've heard this from countless people that revival starts with a broken and contrite heart, a repentant heart. It starts with humility and it starts with self. Hasty repentance means a shallow spiritual experience. Let godly sorrow do her healing work. Our habit of toleration sin keeps us in a half-dead condition. And I believe that. Number five, make restitution wherever possible. If you owe a debt, pay it. If you have quarreled with anyone, go as far as you can to achieve reconciliation as fully as possible. Make the crooked straight. Number six, bring your life into accord with the Sermon on the Mount and other such New Testament scriptures as are designed to instruct in the way of righteousness. An honest man with an open Bible and a pen and pencil is sure to find out what's wrong with him quickly. Be serious. Number seven, be serious minded. There must be a radical change in your habits or there will not be any permanent improvement in your interior life. Number eight, narrow down your interests. Too many projects use up time and energy without bringing us nearer to God. Open the doors of your heart to Christ and close it against the world and sin. Number nine, begin to witness. Find something to do for God and your fellow man. Make yourself available. Do anything you are asked to do. Learn to obey. Number 10, have faith in God. Begin to expect. Look up toward the throne. All heaven is on your side. God will not disappoint you. These are suggestions constitute a formula for personal revival. When personal revival is experienced, there is no knowing how far it may spread. The church is in desperate need for a spiritual resurrection, and it can only come through the revived individual. In page two, it says how to have a personal revival. And this is written by Bill Bright, a Campus Crusade for Christ leader. He was the one who founded Campus Crusade for Christ with his beautiful wife, Vonette, I think Vaughn Bright. Worldwide and national revival begins with each one of us individually. Someone once drew a chalk circle around their feet, then prayed, Lord, please send revival and start inside this circle. Do you want revival in your nation? This is then in your mind, symbolically draw a circle around your feet. Let revival begin inside the circle. Do you need a jump start in your spiritual life? Do you sometimes feel spiritually dry? If so, you need personal revival. There's nothing more invigorating than experiencing personal spiritual refreshing. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Acts 3:19. Here are some suggestions to help bring that revival and refreshing to your heart. Number one, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Deuteronomy 6:5. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any unconfessed sin in your life. Number three, seek forgiveness from all who you have offended and forgive all who have hurt you. Make restitution where God leads. And that book that I talked about by Neil T. Anderson, the little pamphlet, it's called The Steps to Freedom in Christ. It will help you go through that, all of those things, and be very thorough. Number four, examine your motives in every word and deed. Ask the Lord to search and cleanse your heart daily. Number five, ask the Holy Spirit to guard your walk against complacency and mediocrity. Number six, praise and give thanks to God continually and in all ways, on all days, regardless of your circumstances. Number seven, refuse to obey your carnal, worldly nature. Galatians 5:16-17. Number eight, surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. develop utter dependence on Him with total submission and humility. Number 9, study the attributes of God. Number 10, hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. Number 11, appropriate the continual fullness and control of the Holy Spirit by faith on the basis of God's command, Ephesians 5:18, and promise, 1 John 5:14-15. Number 12, read, study, meditate on, and memorize God's holy, inspired, and errant daily word, Colossians 3:16. Number 13, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Number 14, pray and fast 1 24-hour period each week. Prayerfully consider becoming one of the millions of Christians who will fast for 40 days for revival and spiritual awakening in America and the world. I'd encourage you to just seek medical advice just to make sure. But there's other ways to fast too. I've mentioned it before, not only food, which, you know, you could do the Daniel fast where you eat vegetables and water. You could fast social media or your phone or television. There's a lot of things. Just seek the Lord and He'll show you. And if you are able to do it physically and health-wise, then I recommend it. I encourage you. But there is a definite way to start a fast and a definite way to end a fast. And if you're interested in that, I will post a guide that was written by either a pastor in Colorado or Bill Bright. One of those two guides will be in the show notes so you can learn about fasting if you've never done it before. It's powerful, though, and it's amazing. Number 15, seek to share Christ daily as your way of life. Number 16, determine to live a holy, godly life of obedience and faith. Number 17, start or join a home or church Bible study group that emphasizes revival and a holy life. And lastly, this is by Francis Dixon. It's called Praying Always with All Prayer. Study 7, Revival Comes When Christians Pray. Scripture portion is from Psalms 85, 1 through 13. The church's greatest need today is for revival. Charles Finney said, "A revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. In any community, a revival can be secured from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, or if needs to be win and die." Matthew 11:12. In a very real sense, revival is always the sovereign work of God, and He either gives it or He does not give it. But it is also true that whenever God's people are prepared to really pray, then revival will be the result. Prayer is not the only condition, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 makes clear. Failure to meet any of the conditions outlined in this key verse would be an obstacle. But if there is one human condition more important than another, and which is a very real way, includes the other conditions, it is that of prayer. God's people have never really prayed without experiencing some measure of revival. And years ago, Dr. R. A. Torrey made this statement, "I have a theory, and I believe it to be true, that there is not a church, chapel, or mission on earth where you cannot have a revival, provided there is a nucleus of faithful people who will hold on to God until it comes." Number 1, revival comes when Christians pray. Let us begin this study by a simple demonstration of the fact that God sends gracious times of refreshing is an answer to the prayers of His people. He never fails to do this. Number 1, the divine promises of the Bible prove it. Look up, and there's a lot of verses here, so I'm going to go ahead and put this in the show notes so you can look up all these verses. But these references show that God is willing to send revival and will do so in an answer to the prayers of His people. Number two, the historic examples of revival recorded in the Old Testament prove it. For instance, compare 1 Samuel, and it talks about more verses, and then it talks about the book of Judges. We notice that time and time again, the people that turned to God in prayer, and each time He graciously answered them. Number 3, the historic accounts of revival recorded in the New Testament prove it. The great revival at Jerusalem was preceded and followed by much prayer. And there's a lot of verses here. And notice that it was prayer that immediately preceded this wonderful outpouring of blessing. And it talks about more of the revivals that happened. Number four, the inspiring records of revivals that have occurred in more recent times prove it. The Moravian Revival, the revival under David Brainerd, Whitfield, and the Wesleyans, the revivals in 1857 and 1859, the revivals under Moody and Sankey and under Torrey and Alexander, the awakening in Wales in 1904, and the undoubted, though possibly restricted, movement of the Holy Spirit is more in more recent times in the hybrids in London and in Scotland, where there have most certainly been times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. All these were preceded by much prayer. As a result of prayer, God answered by outpouring of a great blessing. Number five, the personal experience of many of us proves it. Have we not prayed and see the Lord working mightily in an answer to our prayers? We've prayed for personal revival, Psalm 138:7. We've prayed for the revival of the work of God that has committed into our hands, Psalm 85:6. And we've prayed for a revival in a work of God, generally, Habakkuk 3:2. As we have prayed, always God has sent revival in some measure in an answer to our prayers. Number two, the kind of prayer that promotes revival. What kind of prayer is it that precedes and promotes the outpouring of divine blessing upon our lives or upon the work of God generally? Here are some answers to these questions. Number one, prayer that has come as a result of deeply, deeply felt needs. And there's a lot of verses here, so I'm going to post this page as well. Number two, prayer that is marked by a spirit-born intensity. Number three, prayer that is linked with wholehearted obedience. Number four, prayer that is accompanied by a childlike faith. And number five, prayer that is offered with a God-glorifying motive. So, sisters, this is just one of the encouragements on revival that I found online. There are so many. I just pray that, just like me, if you have been longing and wishing that you were there at Asbury and you were experiencing the revival at this time or in the other places that are experiencing, the different campuses experiencing revival, God is with us and we can have a personal revival every day. We can have a revival in our churches, in our communities, in our homes, and in our personal lives. And that's what I'm longing for. Even more than being there in person, I want God to meet me where I'm at. So I'm going to keep pressing in to God and into repentance and prayer and fasting and seeking his face and asking him to change me and dying to self and taking up my cross and expectantly wait that God will work all things out for my good and bring about revival in my life. And I'm excited because he already began the journey through my precious prodigals. They may not know it, but he's using them to revive their sweet mama. Me, and I'm sure he's doing that for you too. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. I want to pray from the Prodigal Prayer Guide by Laura Perry and Francine Perry and Carolyn Morgan on page 33. And I just am so grateful that you have chosen to spend time with me. And I pray that this is an encouragement for you, that you are spurred in the desire for personal revival, that you will check out these resources, and that God will move in your life and in your prayers for your prodigal and for your family as well. So let us pray. Admission of sin, Psalm 51. I love this because this is what I've been praying and believing for my prodigals. So I didn't even realize this is what I was going to pray today from this book. But how encouraging. God is good. Have mercy on me and my sisters who are listening and those that we love. O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, reveal to our precious prodigals your righteousness and holiness so that they may long for you to blot out all of their transgressions. May our prodigals feel the uncleanliness of their hearts and seek you so that they would be washed thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse our prodigals from their sin. Do that for us too, God. May my prodigal and my sister's prodigal May they see their transgressions and realize that it is against you and only you that they have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Help my prodigals and my sister's prodigal to see that they have been brought forth in iniquity and have a sin nature. And may they see that your delight, when they delight in truth and the inward being, that you can teach wisdom to them in their secret, in the secret place of their hearts. Purge our prodigals with hyssop, that they may be clean. Wash them, that they may be whiter than snow. Let them hear joy and gladness, and let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from our prodigal sins, and blot out all their iniquities. And do that for us too, Lord, as their moms. Create in our children and our prodigals clean hearts, O God, and renew right spirits within them. Cast them not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from them. Restore to our prodigals the joy of their salvation. And if they haven't come to know you as their Savior, I pray that you would give them salvation so that they could experience the joy of their salvation and taste and see how good you are. And uphold our prodigals with your willing spirit. Then our prodigals will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. They will teach this lost generation and share of what you've done for them, and that they can too experience freedom and wholeness and healing. Deliver all of us, my sisters and I and our prodigals, from blood guiltiness, O God, of our salvation, so that all of our tongues will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open our prodigals' lips, and their mouths will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or they would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering, but the sacrifices of you, God, or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And this is my prayer for my prodigals and for my sister's prodigal and for myself and my sister and our families. In Jesus' mighty, precious name, we ask it and believe that you're doing it. Amen. Thank you, sister, for joining me. Remember to subscribe and also mark that little bell so that you don't miss one of my episodes. I just want to encourage you and be encouraged myself, and know that you're not alone. We are walking this journey together, hand in hand, walking towards the Father, and just believing for our prodigals that He is going to touch their hearts, heal them, and make them whole. And we just will give Him the glory for it. So until next time, remember that we are to live far above our circumstances. And remember that we have been placed, we have a new identity in Christ, we have a new inheritance, and Jesus has placed us in the heavenly realms with Him. And we have the power and authority to fight in the heavenly realms for our prodigals in spiritual warfare and in fasting and prayer. And God has given us this call, and it's an honor to do it. It's an honor to do it with you and to walk beside you, sister, and for God's glory, for our good and the good of the church. God bless. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.